This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Health News Channel. Make sure you connect with us on Facebook to receive the latest programming for your convenience simply at eHealth Radio. Today, we are speaking with Dr. Karen Davis, PhD, founder of United Poultry Concerns, the world's foremost nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the respectful treatment of domestic fowl. She also founded the Alliance to End Chickens as Caparos in 2010. Dr. Davis, welcome to eHealth Radio.
Thank you, Mr. Michaels. I'm delighted to be on your show today. Thank you so much.
You're more than welcome. So first of all, kicking off, tell me about United Poultry Concerns and its work.
Well, United Poultry Concerns this is its 24th year. I founded United Poultry Concerns in October of 1990 as a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the compassionate and respectful treatment of chickens, turkeys, ducks, and other domesticated fowl. And our work includes many campaigns on their behalf, including a sanctuary for chickens on the eastern shore of Virginia, which your listeners may be interested in knowing that the eastern shore is one of the largest chicken-producing areas in the country, comprising the eastern shore of Virginia, of Maryland, and the entire state of Delaware. So we are located in an area where, at any given time, over a half a billion chickens are confined in filthy, dark, sunless, polluted houses.
What was motivation that made you decide to focus on chickens?
Well, there were two big things, Eric, that led me to decide to focus on chickens. One was in the 1980s, I was reading extensively into animal advocacy literature and focusing increasingly on the literature about farmed animal production, with an even narrower focus on what had happened in the mid-20th century, the movement from people keeping farmed animals as farmers to confining animals in huge industrial complexes, such as we have down here on the eastern shore, huge, putting thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of chickens, for example, in a single building, and having maybe 10 of those buildings lined up side by side along the roadside and on the back roads. So I was learning that while farmed animals represent 95% or more of all exploited animals on the planet and in the United States, about 99% of farmed animals are chickens. So chickens represent the far and away the largest number of land animals being used in food production. Their numbers are only exceeded by the number of water creatures, fish, and other water animals. So there was that fact. And then the second big thing was that in 1985, I got to know an actual chicken. I did not grow up with chickens in Pennsylvania, even though I lived in a town that was still semi-rural. But when I moved to a little house in Montgomery County, Maryland, outside Washington, D.C., with my husband, it turned out that our landlady was keeping about 100 chickens, the types who were raised for meat production, in order to maintain her agricultural tax status. So I discovered these chickens walking down a lovely little green leafy path in June of 1985, and I came across this shed, and I peered inside, and there were these chickens on a dirt floor in there. So I began to visit those chickens, and I would sit on the floor, and I would bring a book or a magazine, and I would read. And after I made about two visits, the chickens would be at their little screen door awaiting my visit. They heard my footsteps. They came to look forward to my visit, and because they were just there by themselves. It was beautiful surrounding them, but they were locked in this shed. So eventually, after about 6 weeks, the chickens all disappeared. Our landlady tried to make it sound like, oh, they went to live with another farmer, but I know that they were sent to be slaughtered. But a day later or so, I was walking past the shed and lamenting very, very deeply the fate of these chickens and my loss of their company, which I had come to enjoy so much. and I saw some movement inside the shed. And when I went inside, I discovered that there was a very crippled hen, very thin, obviously malnourished, left inside the shed. And I assumed that either she was left there on purpose, considered not to be large enough to be worth bothering with, or else they simply missed her because she blended in with the straw and she was, she just didn't show up well, I guess, against the background of this really dirty old shed. So I picked her up very, very gently, and I took her into the little bungalow that my husband and I were living in just a few yards away, and we named her Viva. Actually, my husband named her Viva because she was the one who lived. And it was getting to know Viva and spending time with her and seeing how attentive she was, how alert, how sweet and affectionate she was, and how much she wanted to be active, how even though she was very, very crippled, obviously congenitally crippled, she would make a great effort to balance herself on her wingtips so that she could run along a little bit, and then she would, of course, collapse into a heap, and she would be exhausted, and she would have to rest for a long time in order to gather herself back up again to repeat this effort to move, in her case, on her wingtips. So the point is that I got to know about the many chickens and also turkeys, because we feature advocacy on turkeys too. But I got to know chickens through my reading about them and seeing video footage and actually visiting a chicken slaughterhouse in Maryland. But it was meeting Viva as an individual bird who brought everything together for me. And I consider Viva in many ways my co-founder of United Poultry Concerns, because she was just so instrumental in making it clear to me that chickens were who I wanted to become a professional and passionate advocate for.
And I understand also you just did a seminar with the New York City Bar Association on animal slaughter and caparos. Can you give me an overview of what was discussed there?
Yes, absolutely. First of all, the forum that I participated in on Thursday, June 12th, was put on by the New York City Bar Association's Animal Law Committee. And it was very exciting because, first of all, this was an historic event. It was the first forum on animal sacrifice featuring the issue of caporus that, to our knowledge, has ever been put on. And the event was very, very well attended. The room was packed, and there was standing room only, so it certainly demonstrated that there is a growing constituency of people who are interested in chickens and who care about how they are treated in the caporus ritual. And I want to emphasize, too, that the Alliance to End Chickens as Caporus, which is a project of United Poultry Concerns, and as you said, was officially launched in New York City in June of 2010, does not seek to eliminate the caporus ritual per se, the atonement ritual, which is not even required in Jewish law, period, regardless of how it's practiced. Our whole goal is to eliminate the use of chickens or any other live animals in the rituals as tokens of atonement. And I'm also happy to say that increasingly throughout the world, wherever this ritual is being held, very prominent rabbis, including Orthodox rabbis, are speaking out publicly against the use of chickens in the caporus ritual. So we are part of, and we are helping to lead, a worldwide effort to draw attention to the fact that chickens are sentient beings who can suffer the same as your dog or cat or you or I, for that matter, that they have feelings, that they suffer in being held with their wings pinned backward as the caporus practitioners hold them. We have veterinary statements that to hold a chicken with his or her wings pinned backward is to cause ligature, ruptured ligaments, and torn wings and broken wings, and that just holding them that way is itself very cruel. In addition, and all of this, of course, was substantively brought out by me and others at the forum on June 12th, that the birds are being held in transport crates on city sidewalks and city streets for days, even up to a week or more, in transport crates, without, in piles of crates, without food, water, or shelter, without any bedding or any attention whatsoever, until the actual chicken swinging, which is accompanied by a chant by the practitioner about having a happy and healthy life in the future, and I basically saying that this chicken is going to suffer and die in my place. I'm the sinner, but the chicken will take my place as the victim of my, that I should be the victim, but let this chicken be the victim. So the point is that even before the ritual per se and the slaughter is conducted, the chickens have already been trucked from an industrial chicken farm, possibly in New Jersey or Maryland, most likely, or Delaware, being close to New York City. They've already been trucked up from a chicken factory farm, and then they are just sitting out there in the heat, in rain, as last year at least 2,500 chickens were described in the New York Daily News as having died in their crates from heat stroke and related diseases and death. Again, they are dehydrated. They're not getting any water, which is just terrible for any living creature. And then for days and up to a week, and we don't even know when they last had water before they even appeared on the streets of New York City, or in the case of Los Angeles, there they used the hens from the battery cage operations that hens used for egg production are confined in. But the point is, it's a very cruel ritual. And then in addition, the birds sitting there in the many, many thousands, just sitting in piled up transport crates in Crown Heights in Brooklyn and in other neighborhoods in Brooklyn, and in the Bronx and other parts of New York City where the ultra-Orthodox Jewish communities that practice this ritual are located. And by the way, I should say parenthetically that not all Orthodox Jews by any means practice this ritual or in any way support it. As I said a few minutes ago, for example, Rabbi Stephen Weil, who is the CEO of the Orthodox Union of Rabbis in New York City, has stated to me publicly and told the Alliance publicly that we may quote him in stating that the Orthodox Union opposes the use of chickens as kaporis due to, and by as kaporis I mean as sacrifices or substitutes for the practitioner. He said, due to the ritual's quote-unquote insensitivity to the birds and because of the lack of historical foundation in Judaism for this ritual. But he's not by any means the only rabbi. Every year more Orthodox rabbis speak out, and I will just mention two others very quickly. Orthodox Rabbi Shmuley Yanklowitz in California wrote in the Jewish Week 2 years ago that Kippurus observers, quote, should be cultivating mercy for all those who suffer and not be perpetrating pain on sentient creatures in the name of piety. And I also want to mention Hasidic Rabbi Yonason Gershom, who lives in Minnesota, and who actually keeps chickens and has come to know them and to hold them very dear to his heart. And he has spoken out very, very publicly on his blog site, and he is a founding member of the Alliance to End Chickens as Kaporis. He has spoken out against the use of chickens as kaporis, and he has pointed out the extreme cruelty of holding a chicken by pinning their wings behind their back. He said it's like you being forced to support your body weight with your elbows. So, again, it was Jewish residents in Brooklyn who in 1994 first alerted me and United Poultry Concerns to the fact of chicken caporis, and people would be crying on the telephone saying, these poor birds are out there in the streets, they're in crates, they can't move, they have no food or water, they're being rained on, they can't move, could you please help? So to anybody who thinks that, you know, that this is in any way an effort to isolate the Jewish community as being abusive of birds in a way that other abusers are not, that's certainly totally far from the case, not the case at all, but that it was members of the Jewish community who appealed to us, pleading that we please take on this issue and try to do something about it. And so we have a huge following amongst the Jewish community, and again, not only in this country, but in Israel, in South Africa, and elsewhere. This is a growing, swelling protest. Groups are springing up in Israel protesting against the use of chickens and caporis. And the big issue is that as I mentioned earlier, not only is caporis itself, prior to the Jewish New Year, Yom Kippur, a requirement in Jewish law, but the use of, if you're going to do caporis, you can swing money or bean sprouts or just about anything you choose because it's supposed to be a symbolic act of atonement, and non-human animals are in no way required to be used in the caporis ritual, and that point cannot be underscored strongly enough, that the use of chickens is arbitrary and capricious and not required. Fish aren't needed. Nobody who is sentient is needed to be swung over anybody's head in order to practice the caporis ritual. So, again, everything I'm saying was actually brought out by me and other people at this historic New York Bar Association Animal Law Committee forum on June 12th. In addition to the video that was shown of chickens, for example, behind the open-air tents during caporis in 2013, last year, you see video footage that was taken by one of the speakers, a lawyer named Lori Barrett, who is also a member, the secretary of the Animal Law Committee, and she took video footage last year, which we have posted on our Alliance to End Chickens as Caporis website, showing behind the tents there are these chickens who have had their throats cut, but they're still totally alive, and they are writhing and crying on the cement sidewalk and or parking lot, and they're amid blood and garbage everywhere, and feathers, every type of garbage, boxes, you name it. And the caporis practitioners are just walking around among these crying, writhing chickens with complete indifference. So that right away is an example of the extent to which the birds are treated with complete callousness and contempt by the practitioners. In addition, and allied to the total cruelty directed against the chickens by the caporis practitioners, is the fact that the entire environment in which these rituals are taking place in New York City, for example, is completely filthy. New York City is already dirty, just without any chickens in it. But when you bring thousands and thousands of chickens into a very small, confined, albeit open air area, and they are sitting there for days in their own waste, in their own feces, and that stuff blows out into the wind, into the air. When you have, during the caporis ritual, you have blood, you have feces, you have feathers, and of course the feathers are kind of floating around throughout the entire week. The birds are shedding feathers in even though they can't move and they're confined in these plastic crates, they're still shedding feathers in part because they are starving. They are losing nutrition. That leads to what is called molting, which is where feathers start to drop out, and so feathers are floating around. Dander, skin dander is floating around. And again, I can't emphasize enough all the blood running in the drains. We have video footage that we've taken in the last couple of years of chicken heads in the gutters and the drains. And what the practitioners will often do is they will take like just hundreds and thousands of chickens, like in Crown Heights, for example, in Brooklyn. They will take all these chickens, dead and alive, and they just throw them into huge black plastic trash bags, like leaf bags, and tie them up and just leave them along the sidewalk for the city workers to come at taxpayers' expense to cart away to the landfills, or they'll throw them into the dumpsters where blood will often be running out even through the dumpster into the sidewalk. So not only is this an unnecessarily cruel ritual that should not include any chickens or any animals at all, not only is it desensitizing to all practitioners, and many children are there too, and they're crying and they're upset at the mayhem, and the chickens are crying, and it's just like a mayhem that a carnival of death, as one Holocaust survivor who attended the ritual in 2012, she said, this is just a carnival and a Holocaust of death taking place. But again, I emphasize that under these conditions, the conditions for the residents and the people who are using the subway. See, there are laws in New York that prohibit the Kaporis ritual and any type of ritual like that. There are New York City health code laws, which, for example, say that if you are licensed to have animals on your premises, where animals are held and slaughtered, you are required to keep the surrounding area clean and free of what they call animal nuisances. That would be feces and, feathers, blood, fur, whatever, skin. But the Kaporis practitioners are allowed to flout that law. The law says, New York Health Code Section 153.9 provides that no person shall throw or put any blood, swill, brine, offensive animal matter, noxious liquid, dead animals, offal, putrid and stinking vegetable matter, etc., out in the streets. And yet, as attorney Lori Barrett, who actually lives in the Crown Heights section of Brooklyn, wrote and documented last year, she says that I observed the dust from dried chicken feces permeating the air at sale site 1 and sale and slaughter sites 2 and 3. I videotaped and photographed chicken blood, feces, and feathers on the sidewalk and the street. And again, she emphasizes in her letter, which was totally ignored last year to the NYPD, the New York City Police Department, she documented that this Crown Heights area and these other neighborhoods are residential neighborhoods. They're where people are in very close proximity in apartment houses as pedestrians, going to and from the subway. So we have a total package of illegality being conducted with impunity. We have a serious human health issue here, and we have an animal cruelty issue here.
So this is the type of news that most folks typically do not hear about, and I certainly do appreciate your getting us up to speed. Love to have you come back to talk to us more, not only about the human health issues, but about what the Jewish community feels about Kaporis. So what's next for you and the United Poultry Concerns?
Well, Eric, what's next for United Poultry Concerns is we will be tabling and speaking at a number of national conferences and vegetarian festivals throughout the country, particularly on the East Coast and West Coast, in Pennsylvania, in New York City, in Los Angeles, and other places, so in the San Francisco Bay Area. And we were just recently in Chicago at the Chicago Veggie Pride Parade. And so we have a whole lot of things going on as far as just our general advocacy and campaigning. We have people who come to our sanctuary from all over to visit our chickens and take tours of our wonderful chicken yard and meet our wonderful birds. And so we're doing a lot of things in the way of promoting vegetarianism, by which I mean an animal-free, compassionate vegan diet and lifestyle and compassionate living. In the fall, in right in the week leading up to Yom Kippur, we will be in Brooklyn again. We will be attending and peacefully demonstrating at least three different Kippur sites on three different nights. And while the Kippur ritual is being conducted, we have, as of last year and again this year, we will be hiring a great big red van to go up and down the relevant streets of Brooklyn with a huge illuminated images and words in Hebrew, which are taken from Jewish teachings about showing kindness and mercy to animals and never doing anything to cause unnecessary harm to animals. And I mentioned earlier Rabbi Yonason Gershom, who has been such a powerful ally. He himself is a member of the Hasidic Orthodox community. He has a deep respect and regard for chickens, who he lives with every day, and he has unabashedly spoken out on their behalf. And we last year got a 1-minute tape of him speaking out strongly to show mercy to the chickens, and we have a loudspeaker as part of our van, our moving van, to project this plea for mercy from and by Rabbi Gershom into the community. So we have a lot of things planned, including our continuing Kapporis campaign, and we stick up for chickens, and we urge people to give a cluck, go vegan, and we do everything we can to promote a compassionate relationship with all of the fellow beings who share this planet with us.
Dr. Davis, we certainly appreciate your time and look forward to another conversation on this topic.
I am so grateful for your giving me the opportunity to speak on these issues that I care so much about, and I'll be more than grateful and happy to be on your show at any time in the future.
Well, thank you so much. You have yourself a good day. We've been speaking with Dr. Karen Davis, PhD, founder of United Poultry Concerns, the world's foremost nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the respectful treatment of domestic fowl. And the website of reference is upc-online.org. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Health News Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.